If a race has no history, if a race has no traditions that are respected and taught to the youth, then that race becomes a negligible thought in the world that can be eliminated from the world. And we won't let Governor Ron DeSantis or anybody eliminate our Black history and culture from being taught in the schools in Florida or in the schools anywhere in America, because our Black history matters.
Ben Crump, we want to thank you so much for being with us. And again, Roe Vaughn and Rodney Wells, our deepest, deepest condolences. That does it for our show. Please spread the word that democracynow.org is here on the ground. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Another politician sitting far away. This is the battleground.
Hi, I'm Jeff Rosenberg. Tune in to the Song Circle every Friday afternoon at 1:30 p.m.
Turn their backs on the grisly scenes, traced to the privileged sons. And your death will come soon.
You never know what you'll hear next.
Listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the illustrious Althea Billings.
Yeah, no stress. Can you hear me okay over there?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm Althea. Happy to be here with you Friday Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland. It's The Gap. We're back.
Here it is, back in charge.
I didn't have anything. I wanted to put a button on that, and I did. That's just what came out.
What's that? Remember the commercial with the guy that goes woo?
No.
Oh, it was like a big deal when I was back in my youth.
Oh, we'll look it up after the show. if you haven't heard us before, we like to do a two-parter type of program here on Friday mornings. On the first half, we like to talk current events, local news. We do activist interviews. In the second half, we open up our phone lines for our community questions, so you can call in and chat with us. We love that segment. So stick around for 8:30 if you would like to call in. We have a little, would you say it's housekeeping up top?
Housekeeping up top? Oh, about the addressings.
About how to address us. This was something, and no shade or hate to the caller that said this last week, but they called in and they were like, what do I call you? Girls? Ladies? The Gap? Ladies? Girls? And we were kind of like, you could just call us Tammy and Althea, and maybe we should say our names more.
Sure. Part of it. Tammy and Althea. I'm Tammy.
I'm Althea.
And we're the hosts of The Gap.
You could call us the hosts.
Which is, I think, probably what everyone would call any dude host. So,
right.
You know, catches on for non-dude hosts, too.
You could also say, hi, The Gap. That's fine. We'll respond to that. So yeah, just a little bit of housekeeping up top.
Make it weird, y'all.
If you were concerned or uncomfortable about how to address us, you can say Tammy and Althea. Hi, The Gap. Hey, hosts.
Hey
good morning. Hey, KBOO.
Yeah.
You know, all of that is fabulous
and completely appropriate. And yeah, I think is it like a strange thing for people to hear folks reclaiming and calling them like. I know Beyonce says that girls run the world. You think we're like intimidating folks by it, so they're like, "Oh my God, what's like?" I don't know, but It's weird. Don't make it weird.
It is a little weird. And strange. Also, please don't call in and try to critique how we talk.
Oh,
weird.
Next person who does that.
Yeah. Mm. It's okay. You know, you just, we want to hear what you have to say. You don't need to worry about our speaking patterns.
And
because we're the ones with the radio show.
And you
Sorry.
Can change the channel. It's okay. You can change. I won't, it's not personal. I totally get it.
It's
also, if we want to say like a million times every like after like every single like word that we say, we
like,
can do
we
that.
We totally can.
We can do that.
It's a valid way of speaking just because it's something primarily women do doesn't mean that it's bad. All right.
Interesting. See, I got that. Anywhoosies. But
vague sexism rant over. Let's get into the news, shall we?
Yes. So for those who are not familiar with the show, we at the top of the hour, for the first half hour, we usually have either an interview or a round table, a round up. I always want to say roundhouse. Roundup of the of news that were happening.
We're gonna kick you with some news right in your face and in your ears, because
right
that's where
gut.
where you're hearing us.
Local, national, international, but with an emphasis on local stuff. And then for the bottom half of the show, at around 8:30 is when we open up the phone lines to you, the listener, to mm-hmm. become a caller, and answer our community question, which we will give to you a little later on in the show.
Debut it at that point.
Debut.
Okay.
It's a little difficult coming on the tails of Amy Goodman after the subject matter that's been kind of swallowing the country whole, which is gun violence and just violence in general.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on top of our list to discuss this
yes.
week. Is as soon as you know, learn the details or, you know, have a complete sentence that you can say about one mass shooting event, there's another three that have happened in that span of time. And it's overwhelming. The two shootings in California earlier this week in Monterey Park and in Half Moon Bay, both by older men over the age of 60, that, you know, they don't have a motive yet, but they're saying maybe it's a workplace dispute, which is, I mean, to say it's interesting feels kind of hollow. But, you know, how do we tie all these things together? What is the through line of, you know, the gun violence that we're seeing? School shootings, a 6-year-old shot his teacher.
After the admitted, and this was actually a really, really sad story. Thank God. No one has passed away, but the 6-year-old brought a gun to school, and teachers were noticing that there were red lights being, like, people were going up, teachers and students were going up to teachers, students were going to teachers, teachers were going to administrators, saying this something is going on with this kid right now, like this something is off, and that same person who was the same teacher got shot also alerted the administration, and they did nothing, and then the kid shot the teacher. Thank God they're not passed, but this is in a Virginia school district. I was like, just like, yeah. I read it and I was like, no, I like had to do the thing where you're like, no way, this isn't
clean
what
your
I
glasses.
Just read.
Like,
yeah,
did
like
I
took
really
my glasses
that?
Off and I was like, that's not what I just read.
Yeah,
it's like just so overwhelming. And Portland Franklin High Schools, they're in Portland Public Schools, there have been
a few in the last couple months.
Yeah, and it's and the ones that we're mentioning are just in January.
This
is just this month. This is the first year, the first month of the year.
Yeah,
and this is what we're walking into. Teenagers were killed Monday in a school shooting in Iowa. Like, it's and I didn't. I know that we had the conversation about, I guess, 2 years now with the. With the artist that was doing the gun,
the paper cranes,
yeah, the paper cranes,
yeah.
Yeah, and you know, she was telling us how most folks who have guns end up turning it on themselves as opposed to on others, and I always have that in the back of my head whenever I read anything that's related to guns being used against people or by accident or anything,
yeah.
And I didn't realize, I read in an AP article that there's more guns in the States than people.
Mm-hmm. That's, and hey, there's a lot of us walking around, you know? So One thing, I mean, I feel like it comes up every few weeks on this show where we cover some news story and we're like, this sounds like a heavy-handed satire that if you saw it in a piece of fiction, you'd be like, all right, I get it. Like, stop trying to cram it down my throat. I get what you're trying to say. That's how I feel about the headline about the six-year-old bringing a gun to school, administrators doing nothing, and having him shoot his teacher. Six-year-olds can't even write their name. You know what I mean? They don't know all their letters yet. Should six-year-olds have guns?
But it's just, is it their... I forgot which company we were talking about again. It was a couple of shows back, and how they were catching flack for basically... I think it was the AR-15. They were trying to, like, make it more desirable. They had, like, the junior version of it. So it was like... So that you, if you want to go with mom and pops and you want to go shooting, you can do it and be safe about it. And this is just like so, what was that Onion article, whatever that piece of Onion
that
for
they
the satire.
I guess every week, few
like
days now.
The Thoughts and Prayers one.
Like nothing can be done,
yeah.
Says nation, only nation in the world only, where this regularly only, yeah. happens. Yeah.
But, and yeah, there's, you know, and it's, this brings up this whole, it just gets so politicized, and you say, well, the left says no one should have guns, and the right says it's a mental health issues, and the this and the that, and it's like...
Well, no one's doing anything.
Yeah, that's, thank you, at the end of the day.
Sorry, not
well,
to cut you
people
off.
Are doing something, and that's dying.
Yeah, and I think, I don't have necessarily, like, stats to back this up, but I think when you're seeing this kind of thing happen again and again, and it presses down upon you, and lawmakers do nothing to make people more safe, you know? And it's not schools that are unsafe, it's not grocery stores, it's community gatherings, it's going to a farm store, it's going to your own workplace that's now that's unsafe. I think with no action from lawmakers, it's the impulse is, well, I gotta get a gun, you know? Or like, and that just compounds the risk of, you know, suicide, accidentally hurting yourself, kids getting a hold of guns, you know?
Well, I would have to correct you and say that officials are doing something about this, and that's shooting down, no pun bad phrase, they were taking down things like Measure 114, which
right.
I know, you know, that's like what the Sheriff's Department is doing. And I know that, again, Measure 114
is... Shout out the Harney County judge.
Right. It is contentious, and there are communities who are for it, there are communities who are not for it. Although it was voted on, you know, it was, the process of democracy did take place.
Yeah.
And it was, people voted for it, and with all of its, I mean, with all of its issues, you know, I'm not advocating for anything. I'm just saying, if people voted for it, and then the Sheriff's Department is going against it. And I understand, again, like I understand the legalities of all of it, but it's still, there's people need safety. And
yeah. Yeah. And especially like having it be voted in by the entire state and have, you know, a judge in, like, have just one person have enough power to stop something that many people support, I think is, like, I agree with you. I understand, like, the mechanisms and the checks and balances and stuff, but just in a time like this, it feels wrong, man. Like, that's just being held up when that was the will of the people was to enact more gun control in Oregon, you know?
And, I guess we can kind of pivot a little bit to the shot spotter.
Yeah, this is another story that we've been following. Obviously, gun violence is an issue across the country. It's been on the rise in Portland for the past couple years, and it's something that obviously, like, lawmakers are very concerned about. And this, some group involved with the police department, like a community group, got a pitch from ShotSpotter, which is basically where they put microphones all around the city, and they're like, hey, that could have been a shot. Get the police there right away. But a lot of times it's not. There is evidence from other publications that like looked at ShotSpotter's data and saw that they had wasted a ton of police time and money mm-hmm. on these types of things, that it didn't have a correlation to decreased gun violence. It's surveilling your citizens and it's over policing communities of color. So, you know, hearing that Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler intended to just, you know, directly have a contract, no open bids, just, yeah, get ShotSpotter in here. Let's start surveilling people, huh? Let's get the mics out. Obviously, there was some pushback to that, that there wasn't even, like, you know, an open contract bid process. That, again, I think that it's not unreasonable to have a little extra scrutiny for outside companies trying to come in to, like, solve our problems, you know? So, fortunately, that has gotten backtracked. There will be a competitive process for the gunshot detection program. Is that the we're not surveilling you thing that we were hoping for? No, but having a more open process that is better, I guess. Oh, I have a thought. I just remembered that I was going to say about Measure 114 and people wringing their hands about gun laws. And this is something that I say to myself. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you can always, like, if Measure 114 was absolutely unmanageable by the sheriff's department or something, or it really, like, passed legislation to change it, you know, as opposed to, I don't know, using, kind of maliciously using, like, the judicial branch mm-hmm. to try to hold something up on bad faith because it was not written in that way, you know? I don't know. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Isn't it good to have less gun violence? I don't know. You tell me. Actually, don't. Don't call and say that it's good. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, just...
it was rhetorical.
It's... Yeah, there's an article by the Portland Mercury about the kind of the fallout that is happening, the public scrutiny, shall I say, mm-hmm. That Mayor Wheeler is dealing with because of the ShotSpotter, which they definitely have. I noticed in they're not there anymore, but there were two camps by where I live, and I noticed they popped up some ShotSpotters. I thought it was someone put. I was like, "What is this?" And I googled. I'm like, "Is this a spot? Is this the infamous ShotSpotter?" And I googled it, and I'm like, "Oh, it is," because you could, you know, it looks the same. And I wonder, like, how much kind of like grassroots kind of talking to folks that were these surveillance. I mean, surveillance bikes. You know, what else can you call them, really? These surveillance devices would be installed. Like, were any of these communities aware? Is it like, I don't know. It seems more like a violation than, you know, like 114 does. If we're right. looking at, like, you know, rights of
infringing
people
on,
and
your
personal
liberties.
And yes, but it's interesting. You know, it's interesting when people care. It's when it affects. You know, depending on who it affects is when people start caring.
Right, and I feel like, I don't know. Portland was one of the first in the nation to pass legislation restricting artificial intelligence facial recognition technology, mm-hmm. which is huge. Like, that's like, you know, you want to get weird about it. You want to feel weird.
But was it Washington, like, one of the first ones to use it, though?
Maybe.
Yeah.
and I mean, it's horribly inaccurate. Whatever. We can talk about racism and AI at any time, really. So, I mean, like, being on the cutting edge of that, but then being like, no, what if we put microphones on all of the polls and then we, like, listen to people? And, you know, in other cities, and ShotSpotter, this isn't the stuff that ShotSpotter has allegedly been texting to cops to talking points. They haven't told them this part. Mm-hmm. But in other investigations around the country, they tried to use ShotSpotter mics. Or, like, they tried to use stuff that was recorded on ShotSpotter mics in a criminal investigation. Sure. They're like, oh, yeah, that telephone pole outside your window? Yeah, we heard you. We heard you plotting to rob a convenience store or whatever. And we gotcha. I don't know that they actually ended up being able to use it or have it be permissible. But, like, I mean, already the cops are deep in your Ring video doorbell. So,
yeah,
and all your personal security cameras. You don't own that footage.
I feel very.
Sorry, I'm getting off track.
A couple of things. First of all,
go ahead.
Now that I know that the ShotSpotters can, I knew that they could. The folks at ShotSpotters are about to get a whole weekend's worth of bids from me this weekend. Mm. I'm just going to be standing by it, joke after joke after joke after joke. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're going to have to remove me.
Plug our show's Instagram. Tell them about it.
Oh yeah, I wonder if I could just put like a speaker and be like, here's this. Listen to this radio show.
Yeah.
I won't do that. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's legal or not.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Big jokes. But yeah, I can definitely see. I mean, we've seen this in the Patriot. Years ago in the Patriot Act, how the overreach of government or overreach of the powers to surveil us because using an emergency as an excuse to do it like really heighten it, not even do it.
Yeah.
Which again, I think is just free. People go, and whether it's companies, institutions, or governments, they go, to the most vulnerable people for free research and development, and then they use it on the people going up the class ring. Like that's what it is. And it's if you don't think that you're going to be affected by it, give it a couple more months. It's going to be you. It's going to be you next.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Because I think this is maybe something that maybe the listeners are wondering. How do you reconcile, or how do you figure that ShotSpotter, that type of surveillance, is government overreach, but Measure 114, the gun control measure, isn't?
Mm.
What do you think differentiates those things?
That's a good question.
I mean, the capacity for violence is kind of what I think of.
Sure. I mean, I think that the thing that makes some communities uncomfortable is that bit of overreach of, or just at least that all the database, who will be keeping all the database?
Cops.
Yeah. And I think that that's the issue that keeps coming up, is just that lack of, I don't want to say trust because it makes it sound like we're buddies or something, but that lack of like community boundaries or something that isn't respected at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and again, I can understand like that point in 114 for sure. And also, I can understand that there's like at least 20 funerals that are happening in California because of shooting, So, yeah, so,
doing nothing doesn't seem like an option.
No. And I don't want to go down this like philosophical rant, especially I'm like scared to say this on the radio even, because I know some folks are gonna get maybe angry at this, but I think when you're living in a society, you can't have everything you want. You gotta you gotta make compromises so that we can live in, like George Costanza says, we live in a society. You can't just
is he the one that first said that?
We live in a society. I think he was quoting Jeremiah.
Oh, the great philosopher of our time. George Costanza.
But we'll keep an eye out for this, and really, truly, it's just so sad that this keeps happening in a nation. Nothing can be done, says the nation where this is where
the only nation place where this thing regularly happens. Great time to have a gun safe. Definitely that, practicing safety, making sure it's out of reach of children, that children do not have access to it. Both for enacting violence onto others and enacting violence onto themselves.
Have you ever used a weapon, a gun? We don't have to talk about this.
Yeah, I shot clay pigeons one time.
Oh my god!
Where they like have the little discs and then
sure, clay pigeons.
Yeah, it was at a family reunion.
Oh whoa!
In New York.
What?
Yeah.
They do that up there?
Well, upstate.
Oh, okay, upstate. That's a little different.
Here's the other thing.
I don't like the smell.
Yeah. Well, I like the smell of fireworks, but I mean, that's also just because I think of that smell, and that to me is like, oh, 4th of July, fun,
And that's gasoline.
That's not what it means to everybody. Mm-hmm. But I would always encourage people, you can always maybe get into archery. That's fun.
Ooh, old school.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, this is really off track, on like the Discovery Channel, how they're like, they used to have like Animal Planet, it used to be like, oh, learn about like crocodiles or whatever. And now it's like, we're going fishing, but with a bow. I'm gonna shoot a sunfish.
Oh no.
With a bow from a boat. But anyway, a little bit less lethal. It takes a little bit more skill as well. It's always good to find new hobbies. you know, maybe get into throwing stars. I don't know. I had a friend in college who really, really wanted throwing stars. I don't know why Amazon wasn't doing it at that point.
I'm a big fan of no weapons. I know. Sure. I know this is not the. I know this is America, and I know how y'all like to tussle. But I'm like, let me live another day to be a jerk or to do better. You know.
Yeah. Or you could learn. You could learn martial arts.
Ooh.
You know, take a self defense class. I think that's good for everybody.
I'm. You know what? That's found what we're doing this weekend.
Yeah. My dad's really into jiu-jitsu. Hi, Dad. He's like regularly getting beat up by dudes my age. It's really funny.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I think he's good now. There was a period of time where he was.
I do want to learn how to do the thing where you put your foot under someone else's foot and make them fall.
Oh yeah, like that sweep swift, the leg.
Yeah, the swift.
Anyway, maybe I mean us taking a self defense class would be super fun. Sure. I'm putting it on the list.
Putting it on the list.
one more. I mean, can we transition or do we want to pivot to one other news story?
We got a couple more minutes for one more.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we're pivoting, folks. Get ready to pivot. You know, you remember mushrooms and psilocybin and that thing that got passed in 2020? Well, a Portland lab has gotten a first, like, full approval to test psilocybin for, like, potency and, you know, whatever. That's very, you know, finally moving in that direction. It took about 2 years for the branch of the health authority that's going to deal with psilocybin and psychedelic mushrooms to get set up, and as of January 2nd, labs can get certified. Facilitators, I believe there's, and workers in the industry are like in the process of getting certified and trained right now, with the eventual goal being that there are, you know, places that you can go for a therapeutic mushroom trip, essentially, with a facilitator to try to heal some stuff. So,
man, I am keeping my eye peeled on this. What is this? When are they? I'm just looking for any opening days. And
I think we might be a couple months out, but we are starting to see, you know, those locations trickle in. I believe there's a lab in Milwaukee as well that got certified. So
chem history.
Just you know, reminding you that that's happening. Reminding everybody that, you know, stuff in 2020 that we passed is still coming to fruition.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let us not forget the OGs the Mushroom House.
Oh yeah, Shroom House.
I wonder how they're doing.
Yeah, maybe they're. Well, that's some research that we can do.
I hope they're well. Yeah. Certainly. This is interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing how much this could help, and again, little laboratories of democracy, what it can it can make, inspire,
right?
Do you want to do any other ones?
Yeah, but you get to pick one more. How about that? And then we'll flip to the second half.
One, two, three. All right, I'm gonna go with national. So we're doing some national stuff. The Capitol rioters are again, slowly but surely, are being they're being put away. They're being convicted, and they're being they're dealing with the consequences of their actions. So far, 953 people have been charged with offenses related to the attacks on the U.S. Capitol. And there's this really interesting interactive map that interactives.ap.org created, specifically about the January 6th prosecutions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really interesting to see what convictions are around the attacks, which ones are just for participating. And yeah, most people were unfortunately, you know, violent during the storming of the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get the name of the recent person that, I mean, it's like...
Four of the Oath Keepers just got... I believe convicted of seditious conspiracy.
Is that who's the fellow that the older fellow that was put his feet up on Pelosi's?
Oh yeah,
yeah. He got charged.
He got got.
Yeah.
I'm looking. They also have like the stats of what state everybody's from.
Uh oh.
Oregon's pretty low on the list. Shout out.
I'm shocked.
Top of the list: Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, New York. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, and then New York New York is struggling.
New York is right there.
I guess. I guess the New York I know is different than that New York.
Yeah, sure. Washington, relatively high on the list. Anyway, we can link this in our show notes, kbu.fm/thegap, or the direct URL is interactives.ap.org/Jan 6 prosecutions.
How'd you get, I'm interested about the Washington numbers. You know, I don't date anymore, but because I gave up. That's what y'all made me do. You gave up. But if I'm dating someone, I always have to ask, what were you January 6th?
Yeah.
I have to listen in this town.
Have I played for you the TikTok clip of Taylor Swift? It was like off of one of the songs of her new album. And it's like, do you really want to know where I was? And then they edit it. So it says January 6th. And the answer is, yeah, I do want to know where you were.
It's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
All right. So this is where we're at.
That's where we're at. You know,
we can go on a quick musical break
and we'll come back for our community question. This is The Gap. I'm Althea. This is Tammy. You want to call, talk to us as such.
Yes, and we'll be Tammy, back in a sec. Althea, The Gap host, KBU.
Yep.
Yeah. All of the above.
We look forward to talking to you. Enjoy this musical break.
Here on KBOO Portland, back on The Gap. I love that song.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. And if you're interested in finding that song, it's by Maya. It's Mayada, MAYYADDA. It's called RIP Captain Save. And I can't say the rest of it this time of day.
Okay. All right. We can link it in the show notes.
Yay.
Well, folks, I'm going to do another reset. This is The Gap. I'm Althea. This is Tammy here with me. We are into our community questions segment of the show where we invite our listeners to call in. So get ready to do that. Our number is 503-231-8187. What are we talking about for our community question? Well, it was foreshadowed a little bit last week. I had a little bit of some frustration about some... I guess health risks of menstrual products that I got a little frustrated about. And boy, if we aren't just bombarded with diet culture and anti-aging culture, and TikTok has made it so much worse. Right now there is, excuse me, actual diabetes medication that is in shortage. People that have diabetes can't get Ozempic because it's now a trendy thing to use for weight loss. Which
there's a shortage of this medication because the side effects is weight loss.
Yep.
I'm gonna say there is a shortage for this diabetes medication.
Yeah.
That the side effects for it is weight loss, and it's
people use it to stay alive.
The fact that. It's a shortage. That means that it's you can't find it. If you can't find it, it's going to be more expensive. If it's more expensive, then only people who can afford it can use it.
Yeah.
My God, we just like don't get old or poor. Basically, is what society is telling us.
Fully. And this is, it's coming at you from all sides. Again, would be a heavy-handed satire if you're like, did you know that people who need this life-saving medicine can't get it because other people want to take it who don't need it because it'll make you skinny? Like, you'd be like, all right, geez, that's grim. You know, that would never happen. So our community question is about all of this stuff. You know, how, with thinking about anti-aging, diet culture, how do you resist that kind of thing? What have you been told about aging? Like, what are those predominant myths? Because I think it is, there's common themes, but it's kind of like different for everybody how it manifests. We would really love to talk to you about it. So 503-231-8187 is the number. Do call in and let us know. We would love to hear from you. It's something that is all over the place. I mean, I talk about TikTok and sometimes callers are like, you know, why are you talking about TikTok so much? It's a big like determiner of culture right now. And it's a whole thing that has to do and is really like, I think, exploiting this trend cycle that, I mean, just the stuff that you're seeing like 20-year-old women do now for fear of aging. And like skincare and self-care has turned into that. It's like, don't get wrinkles, get baby Botox. You need to get preventative Botox. You shouldn't smile because you'll get smile lines. You should train, if you can't afford Botox, you should train the muscles in your face not to move when you talk. You should stop expressing things with your face so that you'll be young and beautiful forever. You need an anti-wrinkle straw. Did you know that if you're sucking on a straw that you're getting wrinkles on the side of your mouth? So they built this new straw that's like, you suck on it long ways. And you and I were deconstructing that last night. You could also just drink from a regular cup.
But God forbid.
God forbid you drink. I don't know that drinking from a regular cup would give you wrinkles. But there's a lot of this going around. And how do we push back on it? How do we reestablish, you know, what is it? Because I think the word healthy has been co-opted in a lot of ways. Like, how do we reconcile with that? So if you would like to call in, please, 503-231-8187.
And it's something that's been happening. You know, it's nothing new. But I think with it, with like internet culture and just how things go viral in the way that they do, and how, like, I don't know, like, there's like, I say beauty technology, for lack of better words. Mm. You know, it's just like, you have to have your lashes. You got you this and that. And if you're not, then you're not worthy talking, looking at, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so much of it is drilled into us from such a young age. And I'd be really interested if people want to call and talk about, you know, like, I mean, because diet fads change pretty regularly. Like, what were the ones that you've seen throughout your life that people got really into or obsessed with? We would love to hear. 503-231-8187.
And we have April on the line. April, can you hear us?
Yes, I certainly can. So I was really interested in your question. I probably about 25 years ago, I made the decision that I don't watch TV. I don't have a smartphone. I don't go on the internet. I try not to look at women's magazines. Mm. So that's our culture, and you can choose to be part of it or not. I know it's probably more extreme than some people want to do, but mm-hmm. that's about what you need to do.
Did you notice a change between before and after you started doing that?
Oh yeah, I'm a lot less anxious.
Yeah,
and I think that's around the time I finally was able to accept my body for what it is, you know, good and bad.
Yeah. And did you find that, I don't know, like friends in your life or, you know, other people who didn't unplug in that way, would they still bring those things up to you, or would you still find out about them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I find out about them, but I think they just seem like incredibly shallow, you know, when you're not bombarded with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm affected by all this stuff, but I see the bigger picture, and it just... Yeah, it's silly. Yeah.
I have a quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
What if there's someone out there and they're thinking about unplugging but they're not sure, like what was it that kind of took you over the edge and you're like, that's it, I'm just completely unplugging?
I think it actually, the one that I had started quite a while ago, but the one thing that was the last straw is back when TV went to digital signals and you were supposed to buy these boxes.
Mm.
And I'd been, like, getting really angry about all the commercials on TV for a long, long time anyhow. And so I threw out my TV. That was it.
Oh, that was it.
And then a couple years later, I was listening to KJON, because I don't even listen to commercial radio anymore. And I was hearing all these, I was like reading these articles in the Straight Rits about, you know, how horrible diamond mines are, which I'd known about for a while. And I was hearing all these ads on KJON. I mean, back then anyway, a lot of their ads were for diamonds from the Shane Company.
Mm.
And it was such a cognitive dissonance. I was like, I can't do this. This stuff isn't real. This stuff isn't healthy. I just can't do this anymore.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that. And I'm going to take some of that with me because I've been on the precipice. So thank you, April.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good one.
I'm learning a lot. We have, let's see if I can do this right. We have Joel on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you good. Can you hear me?
You're loud and clear. You on there?
Well, I had a similar thing to the first caller, and I had it before I heard them speak. I mean, I know, yeah, I mean, these things are addictive by design, you know, and a little hypothetical thought experiment. I mean, they're going to be addicted. The for-profitness is, I understand. Maybe it sounded extreme, the last caller's take, but that's my take as well. You know, hypothetically, we could pose these technologies used in these great ways. I honestly can't see it happening in a vicious, predatory capitalist world. So I am also not as successfully doing that. I try to very intentionally, you know, go to educational things on YouTube. My addiction is not TikTok or anything like that. But it's a bit of a semantic thing. I feel like doing things in the real world. You know, I know this is nebulous, but like I go to the rivers, I play chess now a little bit. I find that a meaningful distinction between the internet and you know, what I might say more real things in this way. If you know what I mean, maybe. I live with a 23-year-old. I have to say, I can't say I'm extremely optimistic at all about people, like societally saying no to this kind of thing. So societally we say no to, you know, drinking under 21. So I feel like it's at least thought experiment, it's possible to say no to some of these things collectively.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it happening though. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be pessimistic. I kind of rambled there a little bit, but that's my take is, face-to-face things are, how humans are. It's really, I think, how we're best equipped in this world. I kind of just had that as a comment. I didn't mean to ramble.
No, I get what you're saying. I think it's an important part of having perspective. And maybe there is a way for it to be more positive and balanced and, you know, like you're saying, consume, you know, internet-related content more consciously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that does require a balance of living in the real world, too.
Mm.
Here. Well, I'll let y'all keep going. I really appreciate your show today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling. If other folks want to call, please. We have plenty of time. Would love to hear your thoughts. Talking about diet culture, anti-aging culture. How do we bust out of this thing? How do we help other people get out of it? 503-231-8187 is the phone number to call.
Yeah, I wonder for myself... because I'm at a certain age, you just become, you know, people say invisible. And I remember as a youngster, you know, when you start your body starts looking a certain way. And I remember just hating it so much and wanting to feel so invisible. And, you know, I'm going to get there eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's like the second that I do, I wonder if I'll actually want that, you know, because it's like... when you're invisible, it doesn't just mean people don't want to just harass you sexually. It means that they don't listen to you. They don't care what you have to say. Your opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're a caricature of whatever society wants you to be. And if you're not that, then you're meaningless. You're pointless. You wanted to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I mean, in terms of, not that we have to be so solutions oriented, but I do think that, like, reminding yourself of things and noticing when... from myself, noticing when it's like, oh boy, I've been on the internet all day, I should probably like go get some fresh air and remember what the real world is, but, you know, especially that you don't, like, you don't owe beauty or a particular presentation to the world, you know? And I think that that is something that is also ingrained from a very young age. Like, oh, you look tired. You look sick.
Oh,
your shirt looks bad. Like,
why don't you put on a little something on your lips? Ooh.
You know? And you just don't owe that to people.
I went for years with chapped lips just because my mom and my grandma would always say, why don't you put a little something on your lips? You put something on your lips. Anyways, we have Lou on the line. Lou, can you hear us?
Yes. Consumer capitalist culture and invisibility.
Talk to us. Tell us more, please.
Well, I think the first part, the first segment, ties into what you're talking about now, and here's how. You're mentioning gun violence and kind of that nothing can be done. Well, the people who are shot in the United States tend to be invisible, and legislators get, what would you call it, blocked by even, like, some of us at Portland State. We passed the petitions for 114, but now it's stuck in the courts. And then what you're topic now about people being invisible, being sold a consumer idea about appearance, aging, youth. I was going to say that Portland Grey Panthers works on both issues because traditionally it's fighting elder abuse, but it's also intergenerational organizing. So, for example, to try to tie those two, Athena was a really good organizer for a rally that we did last summer against gun violence. She's a 16-year-old from Oregon Episcopal School. And now we're working on a thing, kind of what Dr. King or people who support boycotts would do, which is that there is a collective response to put pressure on legislators, at least on the gun violence issue in the U.S., which is a boycott of Walmart. Mm-hmm. Walmart, you may already know, sells 1 in 5 bullets in the U.S. are sold at Walmart. The CEO, Doug McMillan, makes $20 million a year profits. For years and years, Walmart's profited from guns, ammo, and scope sales. And there's 3 demands of the boycott. And it's been endorsed by local leaders and CSAR Oregon and groups in Michigan, California, and Florida. The 3 demands are, A, Walmart stop selling guns, ammo, and scopes. B, Walmart as a corporation has enough power to put pressure on Congress, like reluctant Republican NRA people, to ban assault weapons, ban high-capacity magazines. And then C, third thing of the boycott demands, is that Walmart establish a reparations fund for families and victims of violence. So it sounds like your program today, at least, may be touching on the whole idea of people buying into consumer capitalist culture, internet as opposed to face-to-face. And one of the things that we've been trying to do at Portland State is community forums where people get to talk in person. So hopefully those ideas, boycotts, in-person meetings, can counteract the marketing idea that people should, quote-unquote, be invisible.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate your input.
Interested. I'll look up some stuff of this Walmart boycott, and we can link it in our show notes.
Awesome. And we have on the line, let's see, who do we have? Is this Camillo?
Yes, it is.
You are back. You're on the air, and we can hear you. How are you?
Okay. I think that I follow the previous caller who spoke about invisibility and capitalism with my idea that the issues you're talking about have to do with the intersection between narcissism and capitalism.
Mm. Wake that up, Camilo. Tell us about it.
And I'm a Buddhist, and essentially the theme of Buddhism is that all the things that we engage in to try to make ourselves happy really don't bring happiness. They're short-lived, and they turn inevitably into misery. So that is a kind of cycle we're in. It's called samsara. And in order to get over that, you need to check yourself out and realize that these things really don't have any value. And what is important is taking care of others, thinking about how to relieve people's suffering, doing what you can. And it was great to hear a young man speaking just now about the things that, you know, we believe we can do politically and economically. But, you know, those things like with the Olympic and so forth, people are just engaging in vanity, thinking that it's going to make themselves happier and life better for them, but you know, where does that end? And it usually ends badly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Camillo.
Always a pleasure to hear you.
Yeah, appreciate your perspective for sure. If other folks want to call, we're talking diet culture, anti-aging culture, honestly, consumer capitalism as well, as those interact with each other. 503-231-8187 if you'd like to talk with us about it.
And we have Emily on the line. Emily, you there?
Yeah, hi. There's like some people really being very philosophical.
Mm.
And I just kind of wanted to talk about like practical advice for anti-aging culture. Like a little background. I had to do a few things because I'm dealing with like OCD. So this is kind of part of treating OCD. And one of them, because I tend to like really become like this perfectionist with like my skin and my face, I had to just start hanging a towel over the mirror every time I go in the bathroom, and I stopped looking in the mirror. Mm. And it actually sort of completely changed my perspective on that, just not caring. So like the two things that I started doing was I stopped looking in the mirror, and obviously you start looking again after a while, but just give yourself a huge hiatus. You'll stop comparing yourself so much. And I stopped washing my face, not like with like, I didn't, it's not like I didn't ever wash my face. Like when I'm in the shower, I just use water, but women tend to really overwash and overdo it with things. And that also, I think, it doesn't, I mean, these people are talking about very cultural things, but I'm just saying you would be surprised what these little things can do to really change your perspective on anti-aging and beauty just by doing little things. So just like, and the other thing is like, don't go on social media so much. I just stopped going on my Facebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still have it because I haven't let go of like some of my old friends and contacts over the years, but I just never go on it. I mean, the last thing that might have been posted on there was like a year ago. And I've noticed that I'm a lot closer with like the friends that know me and respect me for who I am and like me for something much more beyond that. And I am a mom, and I sound just like a mom giving like really practical advice, but you'd be surprised how much more freedom you have when you let go of some of these types of ways that you women use to compare themselves. Mm-hmm. So that, and then to like touch on the whole narcissism thing, I mean, I'm not trying to plug in a book. I just really have read a lot about narcissism. And one book that's really practical that for people who haven't necessarily been in like narcissistic relationships or anything is a book called Do You Know Who I Am? Mm-hmm. By Dr. Romani. And it really, really talks about this type of narcissistic culture on a bigger picture scale and how it affects everybody, even people who have pretty secure lives and aren't dealing directly with narcissistic relationships, and how that can really affect it. I don't know. I just kind of wanted to put my two cents in because people have a lot of really interesting points and things to say, but I also, I don't know, I'd like to kind of see if more women would do that, if they would notice kind of, oh yeah, I'm not comparing myself. I'm not obsessed with how I look so much. Mm-hmm. And then I still, like now when I look in the mirror, I might put on a pair of earrings and a little bit of lipstick, and I don't, you know, that's just for fun. But
yeah.
I don't really overthink it anymore. And I don't really compare myself. And not being on social media, I don't know, I feel very, like, I have more self-worth when I walk around because I'm not comparing myself constantly. The only people who I care, whose opinion I really care about are the people who really know me from forever. So I don't know. That's just another mom giving boring practical advice.
Well, thank you.
No, I think that it's important.
I needed to hear it.
Yeah. I think it's really important to bring into the conversation of like, okay, yes, I understand that I shouldn't engage with consumer capitalism. But as George Costanza once said, we do live in a society.
So
that is very helpful. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Thanks, Emily. That was great.
That was good. Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about the filters that people put on their on social media pictures.
And
I do like sometimes there's these trends every once in a while where they're like social media, and it's funny. The irony doesn't stop. It's people with thousands of followers, and they're like, social media isn't real. Did you know? And they like show pictures of themselves with and without a filter, and it's like, hold on a second. You're perpetuating this standard of beauty that you don't even hold.
The call's coming from inside the house.
What is that? You're the problem. What are you talking about? And I just want you to see what I look like without a filter. Then take it off all the time.
Yeah.
What is that? Oh, yeah. My God. Well, the irony.
Yeah. Let me do a quick reset. This is The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. We're talking diet culture, anti-aging culture. What are we doing? How do we stop? We don't think it's any good. Call us if you have thoughts on this. 503-231-8187. We would love to hear what you have to say. We heard some interesting thoughts from other people. I think acknowledging it from a consumer capitalist perspective, or like acknowledging the role that capitalism plays, is super important. But I think that it also like intersects with other issues like sexism, misogyny, racism, beauty standards. Like, I think that it's important that, you know, in thinking about, I mean, practical advice, and also just like generally how do we deconstruct this stuff, that those things are also mentioned. Because what I think is very counterproductive is for young people who this is like that's their world, you know, like not that they live in, but that's like where their friends are. That's how they consume content. That's how they relate to each other. Like, it's not their fault that that's the way that things are right now. And just, you know, I think it's easy to turn into like a blame game of like, what are you doing consumer capitalism for? You shouldn't even be wearing moisturizer. Just like rub your face in the dirt, you know? Like, if you were smart, you would see right through this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but that also doesn't like, that doesn't express the overlapping pressures that people may feel because it's an intersectional thing of beauty and performance and how we show up in the world and how we're expected to show up in the world.
And your worth, and more than that, what you deserve and what you don't deserve.
Yeah.
And we have, we're really cutting it close, but we have a caller on the line, and it's Arthur. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Got a couple of moments.
Okay, well, I'm 56 years old. I'm starting to get wrinkly, which is, of course, a much bigger problem for women than it is for men, it seems like. But I just want to say that I'm far more attracted to a woman, regardless of looks, that has some kind of a mind and kind of takes care of herself. The age is kind of irrelevant to me. And also, Althea, my deepest apologies. I called you Alethea last week, and that was because of a famous Robin Trower song that was stuck in my head called Alethea. So my apologies, and I'll take my answer off the air.
That is A-okay. You're all good. I'll have to look up the song. Most people are like, oh, the Grateful Dead song. Yeah. I'm not named after it.
Supposedly, that's what you say. No. Do we have time for one more?
I think, yeah, go for it.
All right, one more. I got to make it snappy. Joel, you're on the air.
All right, I'll make it snappy. I tried to look up where I read... heard this. I believe it was in a Gabor Mate interview, or he has a book called The Myth of Normal. Very amazing, by the way. It's on how normal in this world is all so skewed because it's such a sick world. But the thought was that came up in conversation was we in the modern world with even mirrors, TVs, internet. You look at yourself and you might get your own image from your own self. Whereas it's a thought experiment. A long time ago, there was only reflections in water. There was, and you would get, it's the thought was, lots of your self-worth from others. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so beautiful when I heard that. I believe that's likely true, somewhat true. You know, I look at myself, and very self-critical, body image issues even. So I thought it was a beautiful thought, and it's hard to cultivate it, but that's it. I'll take it off the air.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes you got to get back to remember, you know, the Sunday scaries hit. You're like, boy, Sunday night does me good, does my head in. But, you know, like, there are people that care about me, you know, like, I got to remember that and that's, you know, I should be factoring that into how I feel. Go.
Follow up, just before we got like a minute and a half left. Mm. I just want to wake it up that, what's that? I forgot the book, but there's a book where there is a reflection of the water and the dude falls in love with him and then he drowns in the water.
Yeah, that's The Myth of Narcissus.
Narcissus, there it is, yeah. I was going to say, I knew it was something, but even so, right? And yeah, again, like, it is not easy to... be a woman, period. And it makes it really difficult when when you're a second class citizen sometimes. And I mean, it wasn't until the 70s that women could have a bank account, you know?
Yeah, my sister just picked up The Feminine Mystique by Betty Friedan, and she's like, what's this all about? And I'm okay. Yeah, read it.
About to be a roller coaster of emotion.
See what happens there.
And then, and I think especially, and I'm going to say it, the struggles of the quote unquote modern woman,
yeah.
You know, where it's like, I can't have a bank account, but if my bank account is too big, then no man is going to want me. But if my bank account is too small, then I'm a gold digger. And if I'm too smart, then I'm too smart for my own good. But if I'm not smart enough, then no one is going to think I'm interesting. And if I'm pretty, then I'm too intimidating. But if I'm not pretty, then why do you look that way?
Right. There's and no all that. Winning. We got to find a way to play a different game, you know?
Why don't you have a baby? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know, Mom. Sorry.
Whoa. Well, look, we got a couple minutes. We got to wrap it up.
Yes.
If other folks, if you didn't get a chance to call and you want to share your thoughts, you can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram @thegapradio. I'll put something up on our stories if you want to respond to us there. This has been a great conversation, and I really appreciate everybody calling in. We're here every Friday. Tune in, 8 a.m. We appreciate everybody. I'm Althea.
I am Tammy.
And we will see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Ear to the streets.
Check out Ear to the Streets of Portland with hosts Sequoina
and Kayla
every first and third Thursday of the month starting at 7 o'clock p.m.
Listen in as we interview community organizers, speak on issues focused on Black Portland, and share community events happening in the area and elsewhere.
Listen on the radio at 90.7 FM, online at www.kboo.fm, or from your mobile phone at m.kboo.fm.
Follow KBOO on Instagram at KBOO Radio. Ear to the streets.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.